Spruance's mind was made up. He now prepared another attack. This time, the American attack was launched in two waves, though again, this was due just as much to command confusion as anything else. Enterprise launched a force of 25 dive bombers around 2:30, and they were on their way toward the target at 3:30. Once again, the Americans' ability to coordinate and form up an attacking carrier air wing was not getting any better. There were no fighters with this group, because all that could be spared were either assisting TF-17 or held back for any attacks that might develop against TF-16. Meanwhile, the Hornet had at least as many dauntless dive bombers aboard, having returned from Midway after their unsuccessful attempt to locate the Kido Butai earlier that morning. These were rearmed and ready to go, but the order to do so did not come for another hour, well after the Enterprise force had swept south across the horizon. Even when Hornet's planes did begin to launch, they were stopped from doing so after the departure of the first squadron. Spruance had decided he would hold some of his bombers back after all. Just like the Enterprise's bombers, those from Hornet would be unescorted. Once again, it seemed the American command had done all in its power to ensure a piecemeal, uncoordinated attack, and the ingredients were now in place for the kind of catastrophe which had blighted the Americans at the start of the battle. Nagumo's combat air patrol, although now down to only about 10 Zeros, was still very much in action, and they were even more determined to defend their one remaining carrier, because they could not land without it. Had they enjoyed the American advantage of radar, they might have picked up the Enterprise's attackers earlier, but regardless, with no low-level torpedo bombers to distract the Zeros, the dauntless dive bombers from the Enterprise immediately received the full attention of the defending fighters. From the moment they began their dives, they were set upon, and the Japanese pilots knew that it would only take one dauntless getting through in order to potentially cripple the Hiryu. Three were shot down before completing their dives, and others were badly shot up. The anti-aircraft flak being shot from the ships was heavy as well. By the time the remains of the shattered first wave arrived back on the Enterprise, only four aircraft were deemed fit for further operations. But they had done their job. At least four and possibly as many as six bombs had smashed into the deck of the Hiryu, and even as the battered Dauntless bombers struggled to escape while being harried by the defending Zeros, their crews could see that the carrier was ablaze throughout its length. The Hiryu was a stricken ship. This was also apparent to the second wave of Dauntless bombers, which were now approaching the fleet as the first pulled away. There seemed little point in attacking the Hiryu yet again, since it appeared to be clearly neutralized, at least for the remainder of the battle. The commander, Lieutenant Stebbins, thus ordered his squadron to go for the heavy cruiser.